As the Israeli military occupation of Palestine drags on amidst promises of disengagement, women in Palestine and around the world are bearing witness to the brutality of the occupation and demanding that it end. Kelly is a peace activist who was arrested recently in the Palestinian village of Bal'in by the Israeli army while participating in a march opposing the Israeli annexation wall currently being constructed in Palestine. We spoke to her by phone in the detention facility.
So what happened was we left early in the morning. There were a lot of Palestinians and a few internationals and some Israeli activists. And we walked up towards where the people were starting surveying and constructing and tried to tell them to stop. And the Palestinians did not want to leave, and the people stopped. So we were there for quite a long time, maybe an hour. And people were trying to negotiate with the soldiers, with the people constructing. They weren't listening to anything. They even showed them the court order, and they didn't seem to care about that. So then the soldiers just started to get violent. They threw a number of smoke bombs, sound bombs, tear gas. They shot rubber bullets into the crowd, and they just kept attacking. But the villagers didn't want to leave. They stayed there, and they kept trying to move forward. Every time they were pushed back, they moved forward again. At the time that I was arrested, there was a 14-year-old boy who was with a group of other people standing and chanting, and then four soldiers or police, I'm not sure which it was, jumped on top of him and tried to drag him up the hill. He started screaming, and they started beating him and kept beating him and beating him and beating him. It was completely out of hand. They were beating his face, kicking him, punching him with their batons and their feet and their hands. So myself and another woman were there with cameras, so we tried to stand near the boy as it was happening, and that was when they arrested both of us. We're being held in Hadera prison, or immigration holding cell, I don't know what they call it, where it's basically immigrants who are waiting for deportation. Israel, or Sharon, has this plan that he wants to deport 200,000 immigrants this year. Already, he's deported about 100,000 of them. They're working really hard on that. So it means that they're raiding buildings, checking everyone on the street if people are, if they even suspect that people are immigrants, and then putting them in the cell here until they get deported. Well, it's completely racist. I mean, Israel is a very racist state, as can be seen with what they're doing in Palestine and with the apartheid wall. What's interesting about the women here that just exemplifies how these people don't matter to them is they try to curtail the Israeli legal justice system. I mean, they have a judge who's employed at the prison who sits in an office, and they send 20 or 30 women to her a day. She doesn't talk to them. There's absolutely no translation for the women. They're given a piece of paper in Hebrew to sign, which they don't understand. And then they're told that they're deported and they're being sent out. They're never allowed their side of the story. They're not allowed access to legal representation. It's completely racist, and it's very obvious that this is going on and most people aren't seeing what's happening. They haven't really told us anything. I mean, they took us to a judge here, the so-called judge. She didn't even identify herself as a judge. All she told us was we would be being deported. She wouldn't let us have our legal advocate with us. She wouldn't allow us to speak or give our side of the story. So I assume that they want to deport us because that's their history of what they do. But as of now, they haven't told us anything. They haven't told our lawyer anything either.
Kelly's description of the lack of legal representation of detainees closely resembles the accounts made by Palestinian women detained in Israeli prisons. There are currently over 7,000 Palestinians held in Israeli prisons, many of them being held without charges. At least 130 are women. Hava Keller is the head of the Women Prisoner Society, based in Israel.
The situation is now very bad. There never were so many prisoners. Now it's about 130, 135. We never know just how many, because nearly every day somebody is arrested. The situation is very bad. Just this week, there was some slight misunderstanding between the wardens and the prisoners. The wardens demanded from them to stop their walk half an hour earlier, and they tried to discuss it. So they got drenched by water and so on, and they took away everything they had in their rooms. They have now no electricity. The rooms are dark and closed. There are what you call girls that are arrested because of somebody else, because of their father or their husband or their brother, to make somebody give himself up or start speaking because he's sorry for his mother or sister or wife. It happens. It's against the International Human Rights Convention that all Palestinian prisoners are kept inside Israel. According to the 4th Geneva Declaration, they should be kept in Palestine, in their own villages or their own towns. All of them are kept in Israel. And in most cases, the families are not allowed to visit. It is against the law. You try to fight against things that you raise some hope to get something. We make a lot of trouble about torture and about things like this, and then sometimes it helps. Sometimes, not very often. Nearly everybody, when she's arrested, is beaten. And they sometimes say things so really funny. There was one girl, a girl of 16, the family married her to some older man, and the marriage was not very happy. He has beaten her, and she disliked him. She spoke with her family to let her divorce. They didn't agree, so she decided to commit suicide. And then somebody told her, if you are going to commit suicide, do it in a way that something will come out of it. And in the first moment she said, all right, yes. And then during the night she thought about it, and she thought she doesn't want to kill anybody, she doesn't want to do anything. She ran in the morning to the Palestinian police and told them the whole story. And it was expected to be the end of it. Then she was arrested by the Israeli police, somebody told them, and she was sentenced to a year and a half in prison for thinking during one night about committing suicide and killing somebody.
Recently, the Israeli government released several hundred Palestinian prisoners. None of those released were women. Ayman Abu Aita is a Palestinian from Beit Sahur city who was held for several years in Israeli prison before being released.
The situation in prison is very bad, especially in the desert detention camp in the Negev. There are always sandstorms and it is very cold. The jailers try to practice psychological pressure over the prisoners. They try to make us think that no one outside the prison is paying any attention to us. And they always talk about releasing prisoners of political factions supportive of the peace process while keeping the opposition prisoners in jail to create a split among the prisoners. However, they always fail.
The
medical situation is also bad. There are doctors, however, they do not treat the prisoners. They only provide painkillers, which is a temporary solution until they are transferred to another prison, which causes the problem to inflate and become worse. The Israeli government releases a few prisoners and then arrest more to replace those released. We demand the release of prisoners who still have a long term to serve, and we demand the release of the female prisoners as well.
While many female Palestinian prisoners remain in prison, their counterparts on the outside have had to contend with another type of prison, the prison of occupation. For a while, Palestinians recently elected a president. The Palestinian Authority has little real control over the reality on the ground. The borders of the Palestinian areas are tightly controlled by the Israeli army, and all Palestinian roads and towns are blocked by Israeli checkpoints. Ala is a student from the Palestinian city of Qalqilia. She describes an Israeli military invasion, a common occurrence in the walled-in city of Qalqilia.
They come, we are taking food, taking our lunch. Suddenly they come with their weapons, with their tanks, shooting everything, bombing. They come and then they knocking on the door and here, come here. They bring all the young and the men in this building and in the other building around this building and put them in this room, in our apartment. And the children and me, my mother and the children, they told us, sit down here, don't move, nobody talking. You just sit down here, nobody talking. If anyone talking, we will shoot, we will kill. They make us sit down here. The children are crying, are horrible, are frightened, and they cannot, they don't want to see the soldiers, their tears. And they bring the young and the boys, they said to them, stand there and put weapons on their head. Here, they stand there and shouting and say for men. And what happened after that, they bring 30 or 40 people here. They put in this room, and we are standing here with a frightening, terrifying terrorism. We stand here, and the soldier, maybe 10 soldiers, go to the room there, broken everything. The clothes of my mother, they take the clothes and put in the air, broken everything. They're going to the kitchen. I was in the kitchen. I was washing the dishes in the kitchen. I don't know they were coming. Suddenly, the soldiers come to me and they start open everything in the kitchen, open it, and wanting to see any weapons, anything. We didn't have. And say to me, hey, you are, go out, go out. I go out, I was very frightened, and they want from me to stand here. After that, they bring two or three young people, or two or three men, and they take them to the kitchen. And they close the door, just the soldiers and the young people, the men, the boy, and we don't know what is happening. Mm-hmm. After they go out, they was asking them, tell them, where is the weapons? We don't have any weapons. We are simple people. We are as you, as anybody. Simple people. For example, I swear, they catch this boy, his name Noor. This boy, these children. The soldiers catch them and told him, you must say for us where the weapons which your father have. And these boys were crying, was terrifying, was frightened. This and the children are very, very frightened, very in a terrorism condition. What can you imagine? This was our life every day, and they stopped the electricity on the homes. No electricity, no water. Sometimes for 2 or 3 days, sometimes they bring the electricity, other times they stop it. The food were not good for eating, the weather was hot, and we are very hot. I said for you, no electricity, no, that was our life. Every 2 or 3 days they come and looking on the door, open the door, searching everything in the house, brought in anything they want. They make in us what they want. Nobody asking them. That's our life. We are simple people. I don't know how the shape of the weapons. I cannot know how. You have M16, you should bring the M16, you should bring the weapons which you have. They asking the children, these children, I swear, they asking them, his name Noor. They asking them, Noor, you should tell us where the weapons which your father have. And his father, he have been weapons, he don't know how the shape of weapons. His, just his life, how to bring food, to bring clothes, to bring medicine for these children.
Invasions like the one just described are numerous in the city of Qalqilia and elsewhere in the Palestinian West Bank and Gaza Strip. The Israeli government is also currently constructing wall through Palestinian land, creating new borders for the State of Israel that will annex up to 40% of the Palestinian West Bank when the wall's construction is completed. Atidal Muammar lives in the Palestinian village of Battir, which is currently being enclosed by the wall.
This wall will divide Battir in three parts. First part is beside the fourth in line 48, and it is from Bethlehem. Until now, we couldn't talk about the exact planning, but we can say what we expect, because there is a map. This map talk about the siege and the wall surrounded Battir. They surrounded between Battir and Jerusalem, and the other it's between El Khadr and Battir. They went to put gate and soldiers, and we saw some pictures in another villages what they did, and we have imagine about that. They want to close this gate maybe from 8 o'clock until 5 o'clock, or it is daily, and then they can say the people who choose them, okay, you can pass, you can go to Bethlehem to work, to their work, and then you can come back. But some people, maybe they couldn't go back out Battir, and we don't know if they have a chance to live.
Jewish activists from the U.S. and Israel have joined Palestinians in their call for an end to the occupation, for Palestinian human rights, and for self-determination. Kate Raphael Bender is a Jewish activist from California who was recently deported from Israel for protesting against the wall that the Israeli government is currently constructing through Palestinian land.
I'm trying to appeal my deportation in Israeli court, not necessarily because I think I have a good chance to win, but because I do want to make the point that, you know, I'm here as an international individual because my government, which has responsibility to try to prevent violations of international law and to take measures to pressure Israel to stop committing illegal activities, the occupation of the West Bank and Gaza being illegal under UN Resolution 242, apartheid as a Fed being defined as a crime against humanity by the UN, and the apartheid wall having been declared illegal by the International Court of Justice, that our government's supposed to be, and all the foreign governments are supposed to be, taking specific action to put a stop to these illegal behaviors. And they're not doing that, and instead our government, you know, continues to fund all these things at $13 million a day. So I am arguing that as an individual, I have a responsibility to do what my government isn't doing and to try to stop these activities, and that it's not right, or that Israel has no right to deport me for trying to stop it from committing illegal actions. And in the context of this appeal, when I go to court, which hopefully will happen, and hopefully will happen in the next couple of weeks, then I would hope that maybe I can use my tape as evidence. But really my primary goal is to use the trial, or the, not trial, but the hearing, as, you know, a way to raise these issues with as many people as possible, and in a way that might get the attention of, you know, both the Israeli state and the international community. And
in this segment recorded in jail, she discusses the issue of immigrant labor in Israel.
People don't move here from Eastern Europe in search of a, quote, better life in Israel, thinking that they're going to, you know, clean toilets or do, like, really dangerous construction work. That's not what they're coming looking for. So you have to have somebody to do it, and if you're not going to use the indigenous population, because your goal is to completely destroy the economy of the indigenous population so that they leave, then you have to have somebody to do that labor that no one wants to do. So the solution to that is foreign labor. But they're very concerned that they don't have a legal resident population, like that they don't increase the numbers of people with any claim to, say, citizenship or actual, you know, representation or the rights to live here who are not Jewish. And so anybody who comes here to work who's not ethnically or religiously Jewish, then there's a lot of restrictions that go into their being able to live here and work here so that they don't become an actual part of the society. And it's a really tragic thing because when you look around Tel Aviv, when you walk around Tel Aviv, what you see is an incredibly multicultural and vibrant society with, you know, a huge amount of diversity and a lot of strength in the different communities there. And if everybody were able to live here equally and, you know, to their fullest potential, it could be a really amazing place. And I still believe that that's possible.
Within the Jewish community in the U.S., there is often a painful division on the subject of the Israel-Palestine conflict. Lan Harris, a poet from Washington, D.C., performs a poem on the subject.
This was a poem that I wrote as a result of a pro-Israel rally that I infiltrated with several other anti-occupation Jews, and it was quite an experience. A poem for a pro-Israel rally. Jewish fear and Jewish hate hang curse-like in the air. Jewish fear and Jewish hate float on the wind, whirling up with the thickness of smoke. I choke. A young man in a kippah approaches me, me with my sign that says, only an end to the occupation will bring security and peace. Do you have kids? I asked you, do you have kids? No, I don't. Well, you should know when you give a child one chocolate cookie, it will want another, and so it is with the Palestinians. Jewish hate, fear, smoke radiate through the crowd, burning through the crowd. We are all burning up. The American flag draped on my shoulders, its stars shaped into a peace sign. My only solace from this oppressive sun, from this repressive place, our capital. Are you Jewish? Are you Jewish? They scream, as if to be Jewish is to worship this Israel-turned nightmare, is to easily hate Palestinians, is to point a gun at a child and shoot and call it self-defense. No matter what my people have suffered, no matter what my people have suffered, this does not make things right with history. I cannot be pro a Jewish state that annihilates another people one by one, starting with the babies left to die half-born at the checkpoints. One politician after another drones on and the words terrorist infrastructure, Arafat and Bin Laden and September 11th are just more weapons hurled from indifferent mouths. Wolfenstein is booed by the mob for daring to bring up Palestinian suffering. In the other direction, off in the distance, a fist fight is breaking out between two Jewish men, both rabbis, one pro-Israel, one pro-Israel, pro-Palestine, pro-peace and justice. A group of faces sparkling with sweat and hate slowly encircle me. You don't belong here. You're sick. You're gonna burn in hell. You're going to hell. Why don't you go and f*** an Arab? My eyes drift off to a woman holding a baby and a sign. Peace will come when Palestinian mothers love their children more than they hate us. And all of this is nothing, nothing compared to the way the occupation kills. On this faraway battlefield, I am attacked with words and spit. I do not face down guns aimed at my head. I do not face down tanks in the streets. I do not face down the bulldozers charging my front door. I do not face down bombs raining from F-16s, raining down on my family, my life. I am a self-loving Jew, but I will never forgive those fellow Jews who have sacrificed their humanity to worship on the altar, Israel. I repeat, I am not a self-hating Jew. I will always love my fellow Jews, my fellow Arabs, my fellow humans, those mensches who struggle each in their own way, who see silence as the enemy that will eventually swallow us all. I love you. I love you because you're a Jew, an old man sighs with sadness crinkling around his eyes. But I hate what you're doing. As he walks away, pity and disgust etched in his wrinkles, my shaking hands clenched tighter to my torn and battered sign, there is a knot in the core of me, churning, twisting, aching, burning.
While the debates continue to rage in the U.S., Palestinians live under the daily specter of a military occupation that costs Palestinian civilians their lives on a nearly daily basis. Ala, a student in Qalqilya.
our school were destroyed, were damaged. Our future, nobody know our future. We are live without hope, without the future. We are live today, we don't know if we, whether the next day we can live or not. Maybe the soldiers came to our house today and kill me, kill my father, kill my mother, kill my neighbor. That's our life, that's our life. In terrifying, in frightening. And the most terrorism thing they was doing, and until now doing, in the night while we are sleeping, everybody sleeping, children are sleeping, in safe we are sleeping, they stop the electricity, and the airplane started in the sky, and start shooting, bombing, bombing, everybody were come crying, we want to have electricity, no electricity, just dark, and the airplane shooting, bombing. That was happened, I swear, before you came, that was our life. Every month, every some weeks, they stopped the electricity, the airplane started in the sky and shooting, pumping, and the children crying, they are sick, they are nobody. That's it. I swear, there was a night, we cannot sleep 1 minute in it. We cannot sleep 1 minute. We just frightened. Now the soldiers come. Now the soldiers knocking the door. Now the soldiers will take my father. Will take my brothers. Will take my neighbor. That was our life. Now the soldiers will come. Now the soldiers will knocking the door. Now the soldiers will sweep over our city. That's it. And you see our city. It was a beautiful city. Live in peace, in safe. Now everything were broken, were damaged. Nothing. Everything were damaged. Now just we live for, we live, that's all. I say for you, I don't know whether I will live for the next day or what. That's our life. Live without hope, without a future. I tell you, I hope to continue my study. I like studying, I like teaching, I like science. I like this thing. I study 7 science subjects in school. Now I haven't money to continue my studying. I want to be a doctor, to be an engineer, but I don't have money. Not me. All the people here don't have money. And I can't leave my house, and the university is closed. That's all right. It is not enough for them. They take a big part from the history of Palestine and called it Israel, and they said, it's our earth, it's our land, not for Palestinian, not for Arab. It is not enough for them. They want to take the West Bank and Gaza Strip else. There is no places we can live in, the Palestinian people. Why they do that? We want to live in peace with them. And we just want a very simple right, the right of a human being.
For the International Middle East Media Center, IMEMC.org in Palestine, and the Women's International News Gathering Service, I am Manar Jibrin reporting.